My name is Josh Noble. I work at Unity Credit Union. Today I want to talk about trends in credit union mergers in Saskatchewan, looking back and looking forward. And so as we look back on just the sort of raw numbers, we're going to see a lot of just data, a lot of numbers. And I want to sort of think imaginatively of about the future. And I think imagination will be sort of a notion that I want to get at here. I am more of a qualitative researcher by training, so to do the more quantitative is a little different for me. You know, you write these abstracts and you kind of have like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to achieve that. And so I hope that none of you have read my abstract, because I won't achieve all of these things. But I hope to achieve some of them. Again, especially exploring the questions by reviewing the history of Saskatchewan mergers and exploring various visions for the future of the credit union movement. I want to talk a little bit about perspective as well before we start. It's important to sort of notice your own lens, notice your framework. And so, or like Bob, you don't sort of realize that everything's a little tilted by other people's standard. So, as I said, I am the manager of innovation at Unity Credit Union. So in that role, I oversee things like rolling out ECM solution, a CRM solution, lock and block, Interact Online Payments, mobile pay, the mobile app. Those are kind of the tools that I am in charge of putting on the ground and managing that change management at the credit union, as well as sort of doing marketing is also part of my portfolio. I should mention Unity Credit Union is Saskatchewan's largest single branch. We're the biggest of the small. We're the 12th largest in the province, but we're just one branch. We're based in Unity, Saskatchewan. So I have that piece of me. I also have my master's in communications and technology, did a lot of media studies, and then my graduate diploma in cooperative management. So, you know, to use a buzzword that I just absolutely detest, you're getting a kind of pracademic perspective on things. So, with that in mind, here is the number of Saskatchewan credit unions in the history of the credit union movement in Saskatchewan, starting in 1937 through to today. And so what's apparent is, you know, this period of great growth, a sort of leveling off through the 1950s, 60s, and then this slow progression, which becomes a rapid progression down to just a few credit unions. And so I've chosen this lens to look at things because I feel that there's something about this idea of autonomy and the number of credit unions that we have throughout the province that is interesting because it's reflective of grassroots connection, number of board members, number of communities that have that sort of involvement with credit unions on the ground. To look at this another way, we can look at the credit union mergers by decades. This is in raw numbers. We see in 69 to 78, about 50 mergers, 79 through 88, around 30, rises 89 through 98 to, you know, roughly 55 thereabouts, and then really peaks from 99 through 2008 with over 85 thereabouts, and then now down to the less than 30 from 2009 to 2018. But the raw numbers don't tell the whole story, of course, because there's more to start and less later. So more helpful is to see this as a percentage of total credit unions. So from 69 to 78, about 18% is the merger rate. 79 to 88, it's still relatively low, it's even lower. It's, you know, 14% thereabouts. 89 through 98 rises to almost 30%. And then it's when we get to 99 through 2008, that's where we really see it rise very dramatically to over half, nearly 60% merger rate. So think about that. 100 credit unions, 58 of them will disappear throughout 99 through 2008. So as you think about the stakeholders, members, boards, staff, what sort of transition this decade embodies for them in the credit union world in Saskatchewan. Now, how do we map this onto other major trends in the system? We can also see that we have this growth in credit union members that starts in 37 with the first credit union and grows steadily up to the early 80s, where it levels off at just under 600,000 members, sort of floats there for throughout the 80s and 90s, then rises to its largest point at year 2000 with over 600,000, and then there's this steady fall. But again, the total numbers don't tell us the whole story. The more important is the percentage-wise. So as Saskatchewan's had around 1 million people for, you know, since the 30s, it's close, but not exactly the same. The market share for the province raised to about 60 in 1980, which pulled until about 2000, and then begins to decline steadily and progressively from 2000 to where we are today. Now, we would be remiss to think that this is unique to Saskatchewan. These trends are happening throughout the country. This top line is Ontario, followed by Saskatchewan, followed by Atlantic Canada, Alberta, BC, and Manitoba. So from 2000 to 2016, there's this trend that's going on throughout the country. So we go from more than 700 credit unions in the country in 2000 down to less than 300 in 2016. So it actually would be even less today.
Does that include Quebec as well?
This is not excluding Quebec.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair point. I should have. I do say Canadian credit unions, but that is a fair point. I think that this is the most helpful way to see it. The change from 2000 to 2016, broken up by region. So we actually see Ontario has seen the most disruption, which was for every, again, let's use that 100. For every 100, there's about 28. Alberta, about 29. And for Saskatchewan, about 32. So when we think about where this disruption has been most pronounced, Ontario and Alberta have seen even more of a disruption in this area of mergers than Saskatchewan, but we can recognize that Saskatchewan, Alberta, and Ontario lead the Canadian average. So what do we take away from the data? I think there's a number of things. Here's a couple of things I want to suggest. The Saskatchewan credit union system has experienced its most dramatic two decades of mergers, and I believe we're nearing the end of the consolidation era, what I'm calling the consolidation era. I believe that for a couple of reasons. One is there's 39 credit unions left, so how much more consolidation can you do? The other piece is some of the ones that are still holding out are holding out for cultural and strategic reasons that don't seem likely to change. Second, Saskatchewan's not unique in this respect. It's Canada-wide, but Saskatchewan has experienced the third highest, so we should understand what's happening in the merger space in Saskatchewan credit unions as being profound, and we should understand the experiences of boards and of communities and of staff as being on the more extreme end of this in the country. In 2000 and 2001, near the beginning of this, what they call this era of consolidation, was the high point of our membership in the province. Provincial membership has been dropping since 2001, and now dropped to 41.2%, which is the lowest level since 1973. So a few key takeaways, just as we understand the landscape. So next, I want to talk about the life cycle of cooperatives, which was new to me that Amanda brought up, and I should probably explore that, because that might explain this much better than what I've dropped here. But I've tossed this on as sort of a way of understanding the merger history of Saskatchewan. We have this sort of established period starting in 37 where the model is just getting proven. This does work. And as we see that it does work, we see this rapid growth throughout the province. This idea is taking off and being put on the ground. Then this era of plateau that goes from the 50s through to 65. 65 is the high point for number of independent credit unions in Saskatchewan, with 301. Then we see the beginning of emerging mergers, and there's a number of reasons that underlie this. Communities that rural demographics are starting to see communities decline. In some cases, there's overlap of services, some of those things. Sometimes it just seems that mergers will better serve the membership, et cetera. Then we hit the early 90s and we have this extreme consolidation that happens. And then what I'm calling the unknown. I purposely want to think of it as an unknown because I worry that we as a credit union system, especially you know with my practitioner hat on, have accepted some sort of myths of inevitability around the progress of the system. But there is multiple futures that are available to us. I want to also talk about possible narratives. I'm going to give three possible narratives. Now, the reason I give these is as we think about how we are to proceed, I think it's important that we understand what the tensions in the system are and that we name those and that we evaluate them to say, are these fair and are these true? And are we going to solve the right problems? So one possible narrative, what I call the big bad empire builders narrative. Mm-hmm. The promise of financial cooperativism, small, nimble, highly socially capitalized institutions, has been co-opted by misguided ambitions of boards, community leaders, and individual economic actors who stand to benefit from amalgamations. As a result, credit unions have lost their differentiation and are playing a scaled economy game against the big banks and clearly losing. So there's this, you know, the simple, we were at 16, now we're at 41, and in that time, credit unions have gotten bigger, and so obviously that's the problem. One possible narrative, and I think that we would be remiss to not acknowledge it as a narrative. Not to empower it to say this is absolutely true, but to acknowledge that for some people, this is a concern, this is a tension that they feel, and we need to acknowledge that and potentially confront that, or potentially take what wisdom there is out of it. There's also what I call the stubborn, small, and selfish. The failure of the system to move quickly in the face of changing economy has left the province littered with small, undercapitalized credit unions and a cluttered, unfocused brand presence. As credit union boards and managements have clung to an outdated model in defense of their own interests, economic and otherwise, like pride, the credit union system has largely been outcompeted and outmaneuvered. So, there's another piece to this. You know, we should have been making these moves in the 90s, one great merger at that point. But no, everyone had to hold their piece of the pie. Everyone had to move. And so this process took years, took decades, and now we are where we are. And if we had just done this together right earlier, so, you know, this can be flipped around the other way. And again, I don't want to empower this. I just want to name it because this is a narrative that we should grapple with. And it takes real social capital and honesty within the system to have these conversations. Our culture, I will say, within the credit union system is very much to make nice, which is good and is a strength, but you know there's a shadow side to that too. The third narrative, a changing province. A growing trend towards urbanization and a move away from family farms to large-scale industrial farms has left the credit union system in Saskatchewan out of its element. Credit unions have to compete head-to-head with the banks in the city, and increasingly the cooperative values and community focus of credit unions are less relevant to the farmers that credit unions serve. In addition, with immigration, the face of Saskatchewan is changing and credit unions have not made the needed inroads in new communities. I will minimally say that I do empower the final note. I do not think the credit unions have made the appropriate inroads into new communities, which is a shame. But potentially, yeah, this isn't so much, you know, the big bad or the small stubborn. This is just we've changed and the context has changed around us and we've kind of not changed quickly enough with it. Again, a possible narrative, one for us to grapple with. But what is this next era? I would suggest that we must solve the problem of declining membership provincially and we must confront the challenges that scale brings to cooperatives. If we don't think carefully about governance, representation, community recompense, voice, and centers of margins, we might find that the final mergers are mergers of resentment. And I want to really note this idea of centers of margins, that where is the power seat and where are the margins? If you think about the history of Saskatchewan broadly, it's this feeling, Western alienation, of being the margins of the east, of Toronto, of Ottawa. And so this feeling of margins is one that runs deep in the culture of our province. And I would suggest that if we say to small communities that you can just be the tributary of Saskatoon, and then as we go federal, the Saskatoon becomes a tribute. You know, we know where this story goes. So we really need to think very carefully about scale, and we need to think very seriously about centers and margins. And I will note that I think some really great work is happening on the ground in the credit union system, but I also would say that conceptual work we need more of. And we have to navigate the changing needs from and for credit union service organizations, system partners, centrals, et cetera. So this year, we didn't have, so I oversee the marketing at my credit union, we didn't have a Saskatchewan Association of Marketers, or SCAM, terrible name. We didn't have a SCAM meeting this year because the resource that we would use from SAS Central is no longer there. Like she's just not there. And the other like-sized credit unions are less and less there. There's only 39 of us now. And the large credit unions, they don't need it. They do it in-house. And so these resources, now that's a fairly minor one, but these resources, as they potentially dry up, where does that leave a credit union like Unity Credit Union? I think of it as a major strategic threat that keeps me up at night. I'd say more than any other threat. So how do we imagine our future? So I have three potentials, and I think that there's more, and there has to be more, but three potentials. One merger to rule them all. And so maybe this isn't literally one merger, you know, maybe we have Canadian Credit Union, and it's one, and it's headed in Toronto. And for the everyday member, it looks every bit like a bank. But maybe it's not that. Maybe it's, you know, that there's a handful of very large credit unions throughout the province, or perhaps that's a mix of very large and some niche players that fill the needs. And I would say that that's broadly, this is the credit union imagination. This is where it's all going. I've had a CEO of a large credit union in Saskatchewan say, that's just a matter of time. So this is, I think, where the state of our imagination is. Look at the trend, this is where it's going. It's one possibility. Federate, maybe there's some way that credit unions across the province or across the country can take lessons from FCL and find some way of balancing these independent branches with a sort of structure that allows us to do some things more widely. There's obviously major changes or major differences with what you need FCL to do versus what that would look like in the credit union world, but you know, maybe something like that. Another possibility is maybe it's not simply the mergers and the decline of credit unions. Maybe what we need to do is begin finding those new communities that today are emerging that need to be served by new credit unions. And so who are those communities for whom today's credit unions don't serve? The history of credit unions in Saskatchewan is largely based around geography. There's some ethnicity, there's some religious, there's some work, there are other things, but largely around geography. But in the intervening decades, what communities have emerged that need the specific value that a credit union can provide? And how would we even go about the project of creating them? So I offer those as just potential sort of ideas to spark our imagination. I think that we really need this this imaginative spirit. So what am I advocating for as we enter the new era? Further research. An accessible history and catechism. So I say catechism intentionally because we talk about in the credit union system, we talk about the credit union system. We don't talk about the credit union movements. We don't talk about the cooperative movement. And I think that part of the issue as I see it is that we are a purpose-oriented institutions, but we haven't found ways of codifying that institutional purpose and delivering it to the next generation. So when I go to national young leaders, or especially Saskatchewan young leaders, I see people who are networking. They're not necessarily being, you know, I'll use a word that's the wrong word, but being indoctrinated into the cooperative world. They're just networking. And so we need to codify ways that we continue to propagate the purpose of what we're doing for next generations. Governance for a new era. We have to work hard to ensure that the fruits of cooperatives, cooperativism is evenly distributed. the system's clearly scaling, and we have to ensure that we understand the pitfalls of centers and margins. I would also note that a lot of our governance structures reflect 1937, not, you know, 2018. And you know, my former life doing media studies would say the tools that we use to engage people just don't make sense. And so someone that I would love to see us invite and have as a keynote would be someone who specializes in direct democracy. Because the lessons out of that field, I think, would be really applicable for us. We sort of have an old version of democracy that allows us to be the lens that we look at what we do. And finally, and this is the most nebulous, but this pioneer spirit. I think that we're facing this notion of an end of history challenge. There's a great F. Scott Fitzgerald quote about the generation, the young generation of the time, it's running in 1920, being more fearful of poverty and desirous of wealth or worshipful of success because they come to the world finding all the wars fought, all the gods dead, and all the faiths in man shaken. Something to that effect. But there's just this idea of like, it's just here. There's no more frontier. There's nothing else to do. You know, just live and die. And I would suggest that we need to see ourselves at the beginning of our next 100 years, not at the end of our last 100 years. And so how we can infuse the system or the movement with this imagination that sees vibrancy is critical. And so those are the things that I want to suggest. My thanks. I probably ran long, but thank you so much.